Usually I have an expert who does the 3-2-1 countdown. Okay. Yes. Do I have to accept that? No.
Go.
Okay, go. All right. Well, can we keep that into the recording, how you shout at me before I do my any of my chats? Anyway, welcome to VIP Interview. I believe this is episode 4. We have the wonderful Ashley Putlack. Do I get that wrong any time? Or is it Putlack?
Putlack.
Okay, Danny, well done. Good start. You don't even know your employee. I love you, Ashley. So I wanted to, as you all know, we do these interviews to hear from our best people in the group at all levels, talking through their journey so far and why they do their job, what makes them tick and the success they're having, so that you in the audience, our amazing community within STEM, have takeaways, have things that you can take away from the people who are making our company tick. So today I am so fortunate to welcome Ashley to the interview. You know, when we asked our STEM leaders of people who are really changing the game, who are truly living the virtuoso world, we know Ashley does that. I'm extremely biased towards Ashley from the moment I met you, you know, our one-on-one. Ashley was one of our first hires into our Lorien Specialist Markets group. You know, she works on the Salesforce team. Everyone knows how well that Lorien Specialist Market teams are doing. And I can't wait for you to hear what Ashley has brought to the table, not only for the team, but how she has navigated her journey so far in the year that she's been here. So, Ashley, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Danny. It's so nice to be here. So nice to connect with you again.
Always, always. It always has been too long, and I don't even think it was only a week ago. So love catching up. So I'm going to get straight into the questions so that we can, you know, hear from you and hear what's been going on. So the first thing I want to talk about is you started around a year ago, or I think the same time as I came to Impellum. Tell me what was it about Lorien that was the reason you joined in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, just the culture itself. I got to speak with Ross Goldstein and Chris McKinney a bit as they were considering hiring me and I was considering the role. And it was just an instant connection. I really enjoyed speaking with them, working with them. I saw the value of their leadership and getting the chance to kind of work with them and learn from them. And I really feel like Lorien highlights and encompasses hard work. The harder you work, the more you're able to earn. I think there's a direct reflection there. And that really just stood out to me. I like the idea that, I don't know, you can stand out. You can have your hard work reflected in both income and career progression. So that really stood out.
I didn't pay Ashley. Well, I am part of, you know, the salary agreements, but I didn't pay Ashley to say that. So thank you for saying that. That was fantastic. Ashley, you've now been here a year. When you first joined, you get sold a dream, culture, opportunity, a vision. If you were to look back, you know, hindsight's a wonderful but useless thing. What's been from that first initial conversation with Ross and Chris to now, what's been the things that have stayed the same, and what have been maybe the differences with what you've seen now being here 12 months later?
Yeah, I mean, I think they did a great job about highlighting what was to come. I think everyone knows SMT was in startup mode and really getting its legs, getting walking, everything like that. They did highlight that to me. It would be a new business, but they did also highlight that it would be rewarding in the sense of starting something from scratch and building it anew, being a part of that the entire time. I think there's been some bumps and hiccups. Things have taken a little longer than expected here and there, but that was never not highlighted to me. It was never unexpected entirely. So
of course. But I think for any startups, you assume that, oh, it's a startup, it's exciting, but it's very tough. You know, a lot of people who walk into business that exists, you see the business there, you don't have to go out and find it. You know, you're starting off with no name, no brand, no anything. So it's one of the hardest things. But as you said, it's one of the most rewarding when you do make the magic happen and you bring customers in, you bring candidates and you get them placed. So absolutely. So tell me, you joined as a recruiter, and I know today you aren't a recruiter, you're in a different role. So can you take us through what's been the change? What's happened? And, you know, I know for one, we never want to lose our best people. So we'll always try to find a place for them. But what actually happened during your journey?
Yeah, and a big shout out to both Ross and Chris again. In their part in this journey and switching over from recruitment into sales. more or less a couple months, I think 4 or 5 into being a recruiter with Lorien. And again, with being a startup, there was just a lot of bad news to deliver, unfortunately. And I'm a softie. I just couldn't take it too much. Giving people bad news about their future and their careers was a lot harder for me. And yeah. Even to this day, it's a lot harder to give people that kind of news versus giving a client bad news. For them, it's a delayed start. It's maybe a little bit of loss in GP, something like that. But for candidates, it's their life. So I did just go to Ross. I told him how I was feeling. I told him I love the company. I love the people. I love the culture. It's just the job itself isn't for me. Unfortunately, it was a hard conversation. I was, a bit emotional. It was not exactly easy. And Ross made a joke at one point. He's like, "Why are you upset? Like, you're breaking up with me." And it was very funny, super well received. Yeah. Him and Chris got together and just talked about what was another alternative to me leaving, I guess. And they decided to kind of give me a hand or a try in sales. They moved me over into being a BDR, or business development representative, at first. Things kind of just took off from there. I managed to get a couple accounts and kind of stepped more into account management and making sure those accounts were running and growing.
Brilliant. And you know what's funny, Ashley? When people do reconsider their situation, usually it's funny how you talk about, "I didn't want to let these candidates down. I felt like all I was doing was giving them bad news." Client sales, you get given bad news yourself a lot more. So it seems like you're such an empath, which is probably why I think the world of you, because of the person you are, you're like, "Do you know what? I don't mind me getting told no, but when I have to tell others bad news, that's a lot harder for you." Whereas client sales, the reason why it's so hard is you're constantly being rejected. You're constantly told no. So the fact that you're such a wonderful person who it can be tough for, do you know what? It's funny because a lot of people prefer the candidate side because you're a lot more in control of that part for yourself. But because you're such an empath, obviously it must have hit hard. Now, everyone, I want to make it clear, we don't have jobs for everybody in different jobs. So if you put your hand up and go, "I'm not happy here," of course, we will always try to accommodate. But like I'm always very open with people. If you're a good person and you work hard, we'll always try to find another job for you if you're not happy. Yeah, if you're not happy doing the job. But if you aren't working hard and you're not a good person, you know, that's never going to happen. And that's the reason why we did, you know, when Chris phoned me, I loved how he instantly knew you had great skills, great personality. There was another opportunity. So with that in mind, tell us, how's it gone?
It's been honestly a really fun ride. And I talked to Lizzie recently and she told me not to call it good luck. I've had hard work pay off at different times here and there, and a couple of fun, interesting personal relationships that managed to make this a little bit easier. But I think I started in account management and BDR around last March. And one of my first accounts actually rolled in close to April or May. I went to a graduation celebration with one of my close friends. We were kind of relaxing, hanging out on the beach with her and her family. And her aunt, uncle, and parents were asking what I do for work. And I was just kind of, giving them the rundown, telling them everything about it. And her aunt asked me if I could help her find a junior Salesforce admin, which I was like, "Of course, that's literally what we do." That was the first client that I managed to snag.
Sorry, Ashley, go on, finish.
No, you're good. It's not what you know, it's who you know. So I guess a bit of luck involved, but also just, talking about the right thing at the right time. It happened to click. We've placed, I believe, 2 people with them so far and have 2 final interviews today for a third position. So
happy timing. Amazing. Third time. That's brilliant. And honestly, I love that you are on a beach having some mimosa and celebrating your job, talking so highly about it. And you have family, friends who are going, "Look, I would like to work with you because you sound like you're representing your company." And again, it's not what you know, it's sometimes who you know. And you obviously know some good people who can help us out. So well done. That is amazing. Networking is your net worth, is your network. So obviously you're in the right network, and I wouldn't mind continuously celebrating on a beach to get business in as well. So well done there. That's amazing. But I'm aware, you know, this is obviously another reason why we wanted to chat with you, because you know, you recently, and this is incredible, I've never done this, and I kind of pride myself on speaking at events. You spoke at Dreamforce. I was with a guy called Evan Shapiro last week, who's the, I believe, the producer writer of Portlandia. Amazing guy. And he spoke at Dreamforce. And I go, so did my team. And which is obviously incredible, Ashley. So can you take me through a couple of things? One, take me through your experience at Dreamforce. But before you do, I'd love to know a little bit about your big client success, because I know that you met the team at Dreamforce. And the way Chris McKinney explained it was like family. The way they treated you, the way they take care of you. There's a quote from a very good golf player called Gary Player, I believe his name is. And he goes, the more I practice, the better I get. You know, and I think you practice, or the luckier I get, sorry. So I think you're right when Lizzie says it's, you know, luck is hard work meets dedication, or hard work meets a good person like you, and you create your own luck. But take us through what happened at Dreamforce, what's happened with the client situation, and then take us through a little bit about the speaker event, because I know a lot of people on the call today, when we talk about speaking in front of in public, it's near the fear of death in terms of some people's views. So if you're cool, I know it could be a long answer, just take us through the client experience and then also the speaker. You know, what's your kind of story so far on that client? And then how did you become a speaker at Dreamforce, which is obviously incredible.
Yeah, and huge thanks and kudos to Shell and Brianne. I don't think Farron, Shell, and I would have spoken at Dreamforce without her. It was definitely her legwork that got us there, and her submission for us to speak that got us there. But yeah, Shell just reached out to Farron and I. Farron has also had speaking engagements before. Shell is well within the Salesforce ecosystem. This was my first speaking engagement publicly.
And if you're going to do it big, eh? Jesus.
Exactly, with a dream and event, I suppose. I do some of these talks like this. The Unity groups kind of got me warmed up to it as well. So public speaking is not the terror it is to a lot of people, to me. I don't think you're ever going to be ready. I think a big secret to life is saying yes before you're ready, kind of living outside of your comfort zone. So you can always be growing, things like that. But Shellen did just ask if we would mind if she put forward a submission for us all. Around optimizing and improving your LinkedIn profile. And I said yes. Figured it was a little bit of a long shot, but you know, gotta put yourself out there if you want the results. So we did put it forward and it got accepted. I think, yeah, we were all a bit surprised, but completely excited and ready to go. We had it brewing already. So it was nerve-wracking, but exciting nonetheless. I think, yeah, you just have to say yes and hope for the best, even if it is a long shot.
Is that what you're giving tips to people? Is that actually, if anyone who's listening today, you know, a lot of them would like to speak on events. My wife knew I was speaking in front of 2,000 people last Thursday, and she goes, I could never do it. And I go, you say that, but you could, because no one wants to listen to me. I'm like, yeah, no one probably wants to listen to me, but you over prepare. And you just, sometimes you just have to do it, because I have the same fear as many others do. And people wouldn't think it when they see me today, because I feel very confident. I feel very confident in front of a camera. That's probably the camera. It's not saying the camera loves me, but I know it took time. So what would be your, I know you just said, just do it like Nike, just go with the flow. But what other things did your brain need to wire into? Or did you feel, no, I've got this?
I mean, honestly, I don't know if it was just Dreamforce or if it's kind of the same at every conference, but just the magnitude of it and how many people were speaking. I think just realizing someone has to speak, like there's going to be someone presenting and everyone like doesn't want to do it. So like you're almost doing everyone else a favor by taking that speaking slot, taking that pressure off of them. And yeah, Dreamforce, seeing dozens of other people preparing for their speech, looking nervous. It's like, oh, like we're all in this boat. There's multiple presenters every day, probably dozens, if not hundreds. Like,
yeah,
at the end of the day, we're all people. We're all nervous. Everyone that's on the stage is nervous and probably doesn't want to be there. And it's like, yeah, I got to take one of those slots. Got to take the pressure off someone else. And
love it. No, that's brilliant. Brilliant advice. I mean, like, we're all human. And it's like when someone goes, oh, that person thinks bad of me. I go, they're probably not even thinking about you. They're not even worrying about you. Don't worry about that. And it is, and you know, the whole Nike, just do it. What I try to do is practice with like a script. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I watch these natural charismatic speakers who don't need a script, just to flee. I'm like, how do you do that? I literally need it written down word for word, and then I feel comfortable. So it's great to hear, Ashley, and well done. I think speaking at Dreamforce, which is the number one sales event in the world, it's probably the largest tech event in the world too. You know, I think there's 150,000 people come into San Francisco. I think you should be very proud of what you've achieved in such a short career span. You've done, it's incredible to be on stage as a thought leader in staffing in Salesforce. So well done there. Congrats. I mean, it's incredible. So then take me through how you won this originally, how you won this client and what's been the success so far.
Yeah. So I did win one client at Dreamforce and made stronger relationships with two others throughout the event. One that we already had an MSA signed with, one that we're still working on it, but their VP and CIO, I believe, showed up to our talk, which was such a wonderful support. I think that's you, having faces in the crowd.
What's the client? Who is the client?
They're called Primacy. They're a MarTech consulting company. I believe she's their VP of marketing. She runs one of the Salesforce user groups out of South Boca, actually. So that's how we connected.
It's definitely good when they turn up at the event. Did they say why they showed up at the event, apart from obviously wanting to see you, but did they say why they showed up particularly to that event?
To Dreamforce, I mean, I think they try to have representatives go every year just to learn about the new innovations. Salesforce is always innovating, always putting out new features, and Dreamforce is the cream of the crop of what's new and what's in. So,
But why do they? Do you know why they spoke to? Why did they come to your speaker event? I know they came to Dream. I know. I get that makes complete sense for the whole event. But do you know why they turned up to hear you guys talk?
It was actually to meet for the first time. So Dee didn't come. She's my client out of South Florida. But yeah, her two bosses showed up. And yeah, it was kind of just to meet for the first time, bring it off the virtual connections. Yeah, have that face-to-face interaction.
Cool. And then tell us about your big win that you've had.
Yes. So the big win, I actually did shout out the South Florida Boca user group in my speech. And there was a client in the audience. The client's name is Kira Solutions. And after our presentation, he came up to me and just mentioned he heard that we've worked on some velocity requirements in the past and that I'm based out of Boca in the South Florida area. And he's actually in a similar area. He's been thinking about going to these group meetups. He hasn't quite yet, but yeah, he was just asking if we can support him around his velocity developer needs. And I said, that is exactly what we're here to do. And we did sign that MSA, I believe, last week. So
that is incredible, Ashley. So this is amazing. What would you be, if you were to give advice to someone, let's say we hired someone for you, Ashley, and you were to tell them, do these few jobs. These are the few things I would recommend you do. Would it be to go to local community events? Would it be to speak at these events? What would you be recommending? I'm your trainee consultant. What should I do in my job?
Yes, absolutely. Going to local user group meetups, going to these conferences, nothing beats the face-to-face. I mean, if you can speak at a conference as well, just I think the legitimacy that comes along with that is very helpful to clients. It kind of substantiates who you are, but also LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn's a little underutilized sometimes in the staffing community. I have one client that actually just reached out, said, I've seen some of your posts. Can you help me on this requirement? And I mean, it's fun. It's cool when it comes to you. I think just posting and trying to be a source of helpful information in the Salesforce ecosystem or whatever tech community you're a part of. Eventually people will see you and hopefully start coming to you if they know that you can actually help.
And I look, you know me, I'm on the LinkedIn brigade. I'm the biggest proponent of LinkedIn and I absolutely love it. And I can't connect with anyone anymore because the max is 30,000. So I take that as a good thing and a bad thing, but I completely agree. LinkedIn is your brand. You know, it's the number one professional business like tool. It'd be crazy not to maximize it, especially when we as an organization use it so much. What's amazing, Ashley, is you've got so many amazing examples, yet you haven't mentioned your biggest win since you've been at the company. And I'd love the STEM community to hear of what a big win you brought in, because you know we see Andy Lim's name a lot. Boring Andy, always doing amazing stuff, and he's bringing in so many new clients because he's done his market for a long time and he knows the people. When I look at you, you've only been in the job for a year doing this, or even actually since March, which is, you know, it's longer than how long it takes to have a baby. Okay, so it's shorter than how long it takes to have a baby. So, and you're already flying high like a full grown adult in this space. What happened with this big client? Because so I know I would love to hear how you won such a big customer and what you've done since then. And I know you know what I'm talking about, but I'd love you to share the name and the story if that's okay with you.
Yes, I believe you're talking about Highmark Health. and they weren't quite my first client. ZRS kind of snuck in there and beat them with that beach hangout. But yeah, Highmark was in, I guess, my most general type of new client reach outs. And it was kind of the one that worked the best so far. Others have been a little randomly acquired. But yeah, with Highmark, I reached out to their VP or director of tech, kind of everyone across the board. I did this with a lot of other companies as well. And I just shot them a connection request over LinkedIn. The VP that did answer me, his name's David. I just asked if he would mind connecting. I said it would be so wonderful to join his network and community and just learn from his examples and what he continues to achieve with Highmark. And he did let me in. That's kind of my first step in the process, get that accepted connection request. Yeah. And then I followed up and I just offered to connect him with other leaders, thought leaders in my network that are big within Salesforce, people that he could communicate with. I offered to share the different opportunities that we're working on with him if he is interested in something new or just wants to get a good feel for the market at the moment. I also offered to give him LinkedIn and resume advice. It just seemed like no one's kind of, reviewed his profile in a while. It looks like your activity's stalled out for the last year or so. Like, I'm more than happy to give you advice if that's what you're looking for. Yeah, just try to offer him something other than working together. I feel like that's been an important step for me. Like, how can I help you? How can I start a natural friendship without looking to get something out of you?
Yeah.
And he did agree to give me the time for a LinkedIn review. We hopped on with him, Chris and I, right away, I think a day later. And David's very unique. He was like, what do you actually want out of me? Like, that's all great. Sounded amazing. Like, that's what got this meeting. But like, what do you really want?
Yeah.
We were like, jobs, we want to work with you. He just liked our energy, kind of the communication style that was facilitated that first meeting. And we managed to sign a contract within the next 2 or 3 months. And we've made 2 placements, got a couple of offers that we're working to get over the line. And I think it's going to be pretty big next year, hopefully. Got our fingers crossed.
That is incredible. What a story. And, you know, it's funny because a lot of your success has come from being really proactive. And a lot of people go, well, no, you've got people coming to you, you know, they approached you after doing a speaker engagement or they approached you on LinkedIn. The only reason they approached you is because of all the work you're doing proactively. Yeah, you're not focused on the urgent things to try to get shit done today. Excuse my language. You're building a brand. You're building a story for a better tomorrow. And it's what I say to people all the time. 80% of the time needs to be the important, not urgent stuff. And that's what you're doing. You know, when I look at your story so far, you have a voice and you spoke up when you weren't happy with the job and we moved you to the right position. You constantly work hard. You even, you know, you're telling everyone, like, work ethic goes a long way, 100,000,000%. You think about LinkedIn, you think about Dreamforce, you're talking about tools and opportunities, but you've got to get out of your comfort zone. In your development zone, not fear zone, not to freak out or not too comfortable, but to go out and be on stage. Become a voice, get out in the community, be honest with the community, both to your clients and candidates, saying, listen, who would you rather work with? Someone who cares, who is kind, who is trying to help you, or just a transactional recruiter? I'd rather work with Ashley. I'd rather work with Lorien. I'd rather work with SRG. I'd rather work with Bertie, because we're doing the right things to build the right relationships. And one thing that I think throughout the whole time I've worked and seen the way you are, Ashley, and I hope everyone can take this as well, apart from hard work and a winning mindset and a really collaborative kind of way you are. And I know you talk a lot about the colleagues and how much help you get. You are kindness personified. And that's a really big thing that I want to see from my staff and the people I work with, my staff, my team, my colleagues, my friends, is that you are kind, that you put people first. And I think that's a beautiful thing that I hear a lot of what you do is you do talk up others versus trying to take the credit all yourself. The final thing I'd say is Don't everyone get an idea of thinking you can just spend time on the beach because that's where you'll win all your clients. However, your network is your net worth. So if you're in a, if you're going for a week long yacht journey and it's with these big ballers who've got loads of cash, whatever it takes. But I think you've got such an incredible journey for someone who's only been here a year. And I love that you really understand the importance of hard work, the importance of collaboration, and the importance of working hard to do more, because you're involved in so much community work internally at BRGs as well. You're managing your time effectively and efficiently, and the results are doing the talking. So thank you for everything, Ashley, like all the hard work you put in and how much kindness you give to us as a business and how much you do speak for the people. You know, you lead a BRG and it's amazing to see how much you do try to help others, not just yourself. And the fact that you're such an empath that it hurts when you see others hurting. You'd rather take the pain yourself, which is wow. Real respect to you and the work you've done in such a short time. And I can't wait. You know, you talk about next year being even bigger. It can't not be. You know, we were just starting this year, building the foundation, learning how to walk. And now we're running. And watching you do it with the team, I know Salesforce have a big year ahead.
I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Danny. That was
pleasure.
So kind. It is amazing speaking to you every time.
I love you, but and I mean it. I speak from the heart, and I speak from, I'm sure, many other voices in the organization as well. So thank you for everything, and thank you to the audience for listening. Ashley, if there's one, like I always call it call for courage. I stole it from someone much smarter than me. People go call for action, but if there was a call for courage for the next few months or years ahead for the staff who work here, what would it be?
Just don't be scared to take that speaking engagement or sign up to speak and sign up to lead the team meetings. Live outside your comfort zone. Be courageous. Be brave.
Love it.
Won't be scary, I promise.
There you go. And if it does get scary, call Ashley or I. We'll be there to help you through the tears and the blood and the sweat. But love that. Be courageous. Be brave, everyone. Have an amazing week. This is live, but I don't know when you're going to see this. So we'll see you very soon. But again, please reach out to Ashley. Please reach out to me if you do need anything. And if you want to hear more from any other stories that you want to hear, let us know of people that you want to hear from and we'll bring them into the stage. Ashley, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Danny.